Good afternoon, it's good to be with you. If you will, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, we'll be reading a few verses there. I'm not sure how these things happen. I'm glad that they do. This morning, the clip was gone on the microphone, and I'm assuming, I guess, one of the deacons found it and put it back on, but I appreciate that. It's nice that those kinds of things just get done, and I don't have to worry about it, and we're fully functional again, so I appreciate that. It's good to be with you this evening. Again, opening the Word of God. Hopefully you had a good, restful afternoon. We have some exciting things that are happening. I'm beginning some work in evangelism, and hopefully you'll be taking part of that in any way that you're able, and we can work together, and hopefully I'll be making a difference in our community. I'd also encourage you to not just think of this one event, but also be thinking of friends, family, that people that you know of, that you can try to involve in conversations, religious conversations. You can talk to about Scripture. You don't have to necessarily always invite them to church every time you talk to them. Sometimes you can just get in discussions about the Bible and study the Bible with them. There's many effective ways to approach the subject with people, and I would encourage you to do that as well. Maybe this can be a boost to us, the handing out of the Bibles and trying to make some context and getting us energized and talking about God and about Jesus and about the cross to people who need it very desperately in this world. And it'll help us as well as we focus and refocus on what's most important in life. Read with me in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." When I was younger, I was living in Louisville, Kentucky, until I was 7 years old. When we lived there, we had a little garden in our backyard next to our little basketball goal off to the side of that. And we would plant cucumbers and tomatoes and okra and those sorts of things. And we did that all the time. I remember doing that on a regular basis, even though I was very young. It's one of those vivid memories I have with my brother and my dad and my mom. I don't remember my sister being out there. She must have been inside with a cat or something. I don't know. But we would be out there in the heat of the day doing this sort of stuff and picking the okra and green beans and those sorts of things. But in thinking about that, especially along with this passage here in Galatians 6, it was pretty obvious, I guess, to me as a kid that I never went out there and expected to find beets in the garden because we didn't plant any. And I never went out there and expected to find peas. Same thing, we've had a garden here a couple of years ago, and never once did I go out there and find peas laying around anywhere or beets because we didn't plant those. And we understand this concept very well of what is talked about here, that we're going to reap what we sow. And I want to use this idea from this passage in Galatians 6, and we're going to look at some other passages as well, to talk about the plan of God. Obviously, Paul does that. He uses this passage to talk about the plan of God. But I want us to look at this idea about God being fair, because you will hear a lot in the world around you about fairness. You know, is God fair? Is it really fair that God would save some people and he would condemn some other people? Maybe those are the voices from the world. How could God save some people but then let other people not be saved? How could a loving God do that? And then maybe some of our own voices. We would hear things like, "It's just not fair when I look and see such wicked people and how they're prospering." I'm sure the young adults have been talking about this some in their class on Ecclesiastes. It's just not fair to see all these rich people and they have all the things that they want and we know they're so wicked. And so we, both sides of the spectrum, people are thinking things just aren't fair. And what I want us to see from Scripture is that God is fair. And it's not always immediately clear to us. Like Ananias and Sapphira, people who make a wicked decision and then God strikes them dead. I mean, that's not how things work all the time. But God is fair. And God is just in his behavior. and even for the one who questions God's justice, God's being fair in terms of salvation. I want to get to that point toward the end of the sermon this evening. But I want us to look at this concept that you reap what you sow, to just go down this path of whether or not God is really fair. I want to turn your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 6 before we discuss this any further. And I want to read a passage there, 1 Timothy 5, verses 24 through 25. I think this explains the concept of what we see in terms of justice very well. We want to see justice come upon the wicked, and we want to see the reward of the righteous right away. That's kind of how we are as humans. We like for those things to happen immediately. But this is what Paul had to say to Timothy about this. The sins of some men are conspicuous, is clearly visible is what that means, going before them to judgment. But the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. So the idea Paul is telling Timothy here is you're not always going to see everything. Some things are clearly seen. Some things are conspicuous. Something is done that is evil and wicked, and immediate judgment comes on this person sometimes. Sometimes people are evil and wicked, and they live their entire life in pleasure, in blessings of this life, and their judgment comes in the end. And the same is true on the other side of the spectrum. Some people's good works are noticed immediately. They are recognized. Everyone sees them for who they are. Other people, they're hidden for a little while, but they cannot be hidden forever, Paul says. One day they're going to be recognized. And this speaks to the fairness of God. But in coming back to Galatians chapter 6, and this simple principle about you reap what you sow, I just want to turn that around for just a second and talking about this idea of God being fair. And just think about this for a second. We need not be deceived. As Paul talks about in this passage, we are not going to reap what we do not sow. And there are two sides of this concept, as we've been talking about already. And this kind of goes back to the illustration I was using of the garden. We don't expect to get out there and to find something that we haven't sown. And what we need to understand, what Paul's emphasizing here by saying it in the positive, actually, that you'll reap what you sow, is that if we reap to the flesh, we are not going to sow according to the Spirit. If we sow according to the Spirit, we are not going to reap according to the flesh. We are going to receive a just reward based on the way that we've lived, based on our actions, based on how we have responded to the things that God has given us. And I see this as a problem on both ends. It's very rare to find people in the middle, actually, which I think is something that we need to work on. But very often we see this one side of the spectrum where we have this idea, well, God, he's too loving to condemn people. God, he's just too nice of a God to ever send anybody to hell. And so the idea ultimately is I can live the way I want to live. I can live according to the flesh. I can do things according to the flesh. And after all, I'm a good person. You know, God, he doesn't want to send me to hell. Just I'm a good person. He's not going to do that. So we see this one side of the issue where that's the argument you get from somebody, which basically amounts to the idea that I can do what I want to do, and there's not much sacrifice there at all. And then you have the other side of that, which I believe afflicts some of our people, which is no matter what I do, I can't have confidence. I can't have assurance. I can sow to the Spirit all day long, but yet I still feel this deficiency. I feel like I just am not worthy to receive the grace of God. And I assure you, if you are in a lot of religious discussions, if you are around people who are religious, you're going to hear someone say that sort of thing. I just don't know how I can ever be good enough. And of course, part of the answer is that's not the point, us being good enough. That's where the plan of salvation comes in. And through the grace of God, by faith in Jesus Christ, we have salvation. But then you have, again, the other side that begins to pull this concept beyond its bounds, beyond its realm, to the other side of that. And that's why Paul talks in this language about walking according to the flesh and walking according to the Spirit. And it's having the right attitude and the right mindset. there are some that seem to think they can just sow the flesh and then somehow in the end, on that day when they come before God, just somehow God is just going to accept them. I've never really gotten any good answers about how that's going to work. You know, we can't condemn anything according to this mindset. Everyone's going to be okay except for those on the extremes, you know, the murderers, the child abusers, those sorts of things. But everyone else is going to be okay. But there's no real standard. I guess when we get before God, he's just going to say everybody's okay. And that's the kind of mindset this is. But then you can go to places like James 2 where it says faith without works is dead. James chapter 2 and verse 17. If you don't have works together with your faith, then there's nothing there. There's no substance to it. And what I believe James would be saying in comparison to what we have here with Paul in Galatians chapter 6 is that you are not sowing to the Spirit, and therefore you cannot expect to reap according to the Spirit. You can't go out into the field of the world and expect to see some spiritual gain there when there hasn't been any spiritual input. All we're going to receive out of this are fleshly things. And you see in the passage here what Paul says about that. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Now, it's not my aim this evening to be real negative necessarily, and to talk about condemnation and all this sort of thing. I'm just trying to present the issue here about reaping and sowing. But the reality is of what Paul says, if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. And then there is the other side of that, which I explained a minute ago, in which we ought to have confidence. If we are the kind of people who are sowing to the Spirit, or you might say it this other way, which Jesus referred to frequently, if we are laying up our treasures in heaven, Paul used the same type of language in 1 Timothy 6, then we can expect heavenly reward. It just makes sense. But we are not going to reap what we do not sow. If we are not sowing according to the flesh, if we are spending our life trying to sow according to the Spirit, trying to lay up treasures in heaven, then there ought not be such worry and concern, such a feeling of being unworthy, of not having the grace of God, always being in doubt as to whether I'm saved or not. Because I haven't been sowing to the flesh. I'm not going to reap the flesh. Sometimes that worry and that concern speaks to the fact that maybe we are sowing to the flesh to some degree. But I also think there are times in which it is just merely a problem of confidence, of assurance. And maybe it's that we feel like we've been taught so long that we can't be confident or that we can't have assurance. But repeatedly, the Hebrew writer tells us to hold on to our confession of hope, to hold fast to our convictions, to go boldly before the throne of God. All these types of phrases that speak to the assurance and the confidence that we ought to have, the hope that we have before God. If we are in Christ, we can have this guarantee, this promise of eternal life. The one who sows to the Spirit, this is verse 8, Galatians 6, verse 8, the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Humility is a great characteristic to have. In fact, we all ought to be humble. But it is not against the concept of humility to be confident in our salvation. I want you to think about Job for a minute. One of the great things about Job and the story of Job and the suffering that he went through was his willingness to hold on to his conviction that he was blameless before God. He didn't overstate his case. He didn't act like he had never done anything wrong. That's not the idea. But he was very confident about his position before God, about his relationship with God. And in fact, in that light, I should say, he also called out to God and said, if there is anything wrong, reveal that to me. I want to know about it because I want to change it. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. That is not aside from confidence or aside from a strong faith and conviction that we have this hope. But I think what we see in Job is someone who, despite the problems he had, despite the difficulties, and despite his wife and his friends who were telling him, Job, well, you just must have sinned. That's why all this bad is happening to you, because you've obviously sinned and you're being judged. Because despite all these negative voices around him, Job was willing to confidently uphold himself before God. He was sowing to the Spirit. And in confidence, he understood that somewhere down the line he was going to reap according to the Spirit. He didn't understand everything. He didn't understand very much, which is why he was inquiring of God. But one thing he had was confidence. And there is nothing at all wrong in our lives with having some confidence in Jesus Christ and our faith in Christ, and realizing that we're trying to sow according to the Spirit, and that we are working on a daily basis to try to live more like Jesus, and that we are trying to do things that are good and right and according to the will of God, and realizing that when we do that, we will reap according to the Spirit rather than according to the flesh. We are not going to reap what we do not sow. If we don't sow according to the Spirit, we're not going to reap according to the Spirit. And if we don't sow according to the flesh, we're not going to reap according to the flesh. Then there is the other side of that, which is the more positive light, or the more positive statement here of this, which is just the reality of what Paul says, you will reap according to what you sow. And you might think, well, this is exactly the same thing. You're just saying it in a positive way. Well, let me ask you this. Many of you have had gardens in your life. When you went out and you planted the row of corn and the kale and the broccoli and all those sorts of things, did you go out and did you always reap what you sowed? Every time? Man, that would be great, wouldn't it? I wish that when we had our gardens, we would go out there and everything we sowed, man, it was just busting up out of the ground, and we had onions and we had tomatoes and we had all the corn and the broccoli we planted. Kale, that always grows. I'll tell you what, there's some things you do a lot of work. You do a lot of sowing and a lot of hard, sweating work, and you get out there and there's nothing. When we had our garden here a few years ago, we planted some corn. I don't know enough about gardening to know what happened. All I know is it grew up, and when we tried to use it, it was pretty much burnt, toasted. There was nothing to it. It must not have been in the right spot. The sun was hitting it the wrong way or something. I don't know. But we put some work into that as we were sowing in that backyard, but we did not reap from what we sowed. There was a lot of time spent on that corn with Katie and her mom as they planted that, but got nothing out of it. And this statement by Paul should give us a great amount of confidence. It should give us a lot of assurance that we will reap what we sow. We don't reap everything we sow in the ground. We get that. That's something that's very understandable. There is a part of the crop that's always going to disappoint every single year, sometimes in a very great way. If there are huge natural disasters or the weather cycle isn't just right, and the crops don't come out the way they should, and it can really damage a lot of things when that happens. But when it comes to spiritual sowing and reaping, we can count on reaping what we sow. If we sow according to the Spirit, we are going to reap according to the Spirit. We're going to receive the benefit of the work that we have put in. And then there is the other side as well. If we sow according to the flesh, we can be guaranteed that we will reap according to the flesh what we sow. Those who persecute the righteous, they're going to receive their just reward. They're going to receive the penalty for the actions that they've had in their life. And again, you might get this idea, well, it's just not fair. It's not fair that people are going to be condemned. But I want you to think about this from the perspective of the righteous person who is suffering oppression day by day. And they are calling on God to deliver them from this type of oppression. They're waiting for some kind of answer. One day there is going to be justice. And James talks about this in James chapter 5. As he is discussing this very thing, which is the justice of God on those who are oppressing his people. Again, it's not always conspicuous. It's not always right away that it's going to happen. But James says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. They have laid up treasure in the last days. You will reap what you sow. Do you hear it there? They have laid up treasure in the last days. The things that you have done, they are speaking out. They're calling out against you. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. James says, be patient, therefore, brother. People want to cry out about how things aren't fair. It's just not right that God can condemn people. And then on the other side of their mouth, they're going to complain about how there's evil in the world and how there's wicked people who are oppressing others. Do we not see the conflict here? What do we want? Do we want God to come in condemnation on the wicked, or do we want him to save everybody? We have to make our minds up. And what we're going to see by the end is the reality is we are not fair. It's not God who suffers from a lack of justice. God is fair. God is just. The reality is man is not fair toward God. We expect too much of him because we contradict ourselves in the statements that we often make. We don't want justice on one hand, but yet we look out the other way and we want him to bring judgment on those who are oppressing others. And he's going to do that very thing because he is just, but then when he does it, people want to criticize him. When God brings judgment on the wicked, it is a comfort to the righteous. That's what James is telling us here. He says, be patient, brothers. The time is coming. They're going to reap what they have been sowing. The oppression that they've been giving to people, it's going to come back on them. And they are going to be miserable. Although they've lived in luxury and self-indulgence, one day this is going to come back on them for the activities that they've been a part of. And all these people they've been oppressing, they're going to see their oppressors judged. And they will be vindicated. Because God is fair. God is upright. He is just. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, we're told in Proverbs 15:3, keeping watch on the evil and the good. He's not just looking out for the wicked to condemn them. He also is looking on those who are good and upright. He's going to bring blessings upon them one day. The wicked man has said in his heart, God is forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. But we know that is not the reality. God does see everything, and he will bring the wicked to judgment. And he will also reward the righteous. Because the righteous will reap what they've sown. What they've sown according to the Spirit, they will reap according to the Spirit. Even if it doesn't happen right away, even if it's not right before them, eventually that will take place. And Paul says, beginning in verse 9, and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. This is the very point he's trying to make to these brethren. Don't give up. Don't be deceived. You are going to reap what you sow. God's not mocked. The wicked, the ungodly, they think they can get away with the things that they're doing. But he says, don't grow weary in doing good. You keep doing what you know you need to do, because in due season, you are going to be rewarded. As we have opportunity then, let us do good to everyone. The message is, he's saying, therefore, you keep doing good. Don't give up. Don't stop what you're doing. Just because you're not receiving some kind of immediate reward, just because you're doing good and you don't see it helping right away, there is going to be reward for your good actions. You're going to reap what you sow. In the end, it's going to be worth it. Paul, at the conclusion of the Corinthian letter, in chapter 15, he told those brethren, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. tell him you're going to reap what you sow. Your labor's not in vain. You're working the works of God. You're trying to do what's right. You're sowing to the Spirit. It's not in vain. It might seem like it's in vain. You might be depressed. Your heart might be low. But he's telling them that eventually you will receive this reward. You're going to receive the crown of righteousness that is given to those who love the Lord. And those who have been oppressing, those who have been persecuting the righteous, they'll receive their just reward as well. Well, is God fair? We know that we're not going to reap what we haven't sown, and we know that we're going to reap what we sow. But that tells us something about God that's very important. And that is that man's salvation is totally dependent on how he responds to God's grace. You see, people always want to throw it off on God. And they want to blame God for things. Say, well, God isn't fair. But the reality is that my salvation and your salvation, it is totally dependent on how I act, how I respond to what God has already done for me. If I am unwilling to react to the grace of God, to the fact that he sent his son to die for my sins, if I'm not willing to respond to that, does that mean that God is not fair? Is my faithlessness mean that God is not faithful? May it never be, Paul said in Romans chapter 3. How could that ever be that God would be faithless just because I am faithless? See, this is the confusion in the world. Just because they do not respond to the grace of God, now somehow they pin up God as not being fair. The reality is they are not fair to God. What is truly not fair is that God has sent his grace to the world, and yet time and time and time again, his creation rejects his grace. They spit in the face of his grace. They deny his love. They don't accept what he's given them. That's truly being unjust. And if there is anything that is ever not fair, or anything that is ever unjust in the world, it is the fact that the Lord came to this earth. He gave up the glories of heaven. He walked as a man. He tried to help people see the light, and yet they beat him, and they spit in his face, and they beat a crown of thorns upon his head, and they nailed him to a cross. Wood that he made and created in the beginning. And they mocked him. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews," as they passed by. That's what's not fair. What's not fair is that God was so gracious and so loving that a sinful, despicable world could be brought back into reconciliation by the fact that he gave his only begotten son to come and die for the sins of humanity. And as he was hanging there on the cross, what is not fair is that he said, "Father, forgive them." If we want to talk about not fair, that's not fair. It is totally unmerited favor that God saw fit to have some kind of plan for us through his Son. That although our sins had separated us from God, had removed us from being in his presence, that we could now be rejoined again through faith in Christ. We didn't deserve that. But the fact is that God does love us. And he wanted us to be in this relationship with him. And so he made a way for it to happen. And now it is up to his creation to decide they want to accept his grace. He has given us the path, the narrow road. It's up to us to walk that narrow road. It's up to us to seek and to knock and to ask. And if we'll do that, if we'll seek, we'll find. And if we'll knock, he'll open the door. And if we will ask, we will receive. He will answer those questions we have. How ridiculous it is to say that God is not fair. Our salvation is totally dependent on how we respond to what God has done for us. He has given us his grace. He has shown us his love and his mercy. And he has left it up to us to decide if we are going to receive that or if we are going to reject that. It is our own free will. There is nothing that could be any more fair in that situation than that. Second Peter 3 in verse 9, one of the verses that the young people have been memorizing, some of them at least in their classes, says the following: "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." It is God's desire that his entire creation respond to and receive his grace. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants everyone. He's not partial. He's not selecting some people to be saved and some people not to be saved. This is a plan that is for every single person that is willing to accept it. And not only that, he's being patient toward us. He's giving us time. He's trying to allow people to come to the realization that they desperately need him and his plan. But the day of the Lord is going to come. And although he's patient and he is long-suffering toward us, the next verse does tell us the day of the Lord is going to come. And not only is it going to come, it's going to come like a thief in the night. It's going to come at a time that we don't expect. And again, I'm not trying to necessarily strike fear in people's hearts and all this sort of thing, but the reality is that's just the truth. That's what the Bible says. It's going to come at a time that we don't know when that's going to be. And that is an impetus for us to make the decision now that what we need to do is follow God, that we want to sow to the Spirit so that we can reap, according to the Spirit, everlasting life. That we are making sure that we're doing the right kind of work, that we're doing the right sorts of things, so that one day when the judgment comes, he's going to see us and say, "Hey, you're one of those people that's sowing according to the Spirit. You are laying up treasures in heaven. Why don't you come on in here? You're going to reap what you sow." We think of that phrase so negatively, but it is so positive. We will reap what we sow. If we sow according to the Spirit, we will reap according to the Spirit. Can we help you do that tonight? Will you give your life to Christ? Sow according to the Spirit. Give yourself over to him. Be baptized into Christ. Come out of the water in newness of life. Even if your life ends that next moment, you will be with God for all eternity. Can we help you do that? Come now as we stand and we sing together.